CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday, 17 November, and Michael Flax is with us, as well as Bulelo Tinta, you and me. It's good, it's nice. Remember that? Remember it's good, it's nice. That was a big thing. Flax, you won't remember good as nice.
Yeah, I do not remember that.
You don't know what the hell we're talking about. It's hilarious.
What is it from?
So it was from an ad. What was the ad for? I can't even remember. You see, this is what advertising is meant to do. It's meant to remind you about the product, but all it reminds me of is like the ad itself. I can't tell you what product it was. It's hilarious. It was Joe Mafella, but I can't remember whether it was for a chicken place or something else. It's good, good is nice.
It's good is nice. Yeah, I think it's Chicken Licken, Joe Mafella.
Was it?
Could be wrong. I'm getting old.
Yeah, well.
Chicken Licken.
Chicken Licken. All right, so Wednesday morning. How's everybody? What's happening?
You're sweating here. I don't know about you guys, but global warming is hitting us hard this year. It is so hot.
Yo, yesterday was insane. I was at the office in the morning, and it was sweaty. It was like I had to put on air conditioning and everything. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have aircon at home. I don't think it's very healthy to like sleep in air conditioning, even though it's so nice. Like it's the best thing to fall asleep when it's a little bit cold. Apparently, what's that optimum temperature? What you said it was 17 or 18 degrees.
17.
Yeah, well, 17.
I'm not saying it. Matt Walker.
Who's Matt Walker?
He's a sleep expert, a professor at Stanford. So he's like the guy right now in terms of sleep and rest and recovery. Yeah, really interesting guy.
Cool. I'd say 19 degrees is an optimal temperature to sleep in.
Why 19? You know? Why? What's that? What's that all about? Why were you?
I was away this weekend, and we set the aircon to 19. It was quite favorable.
Oh, okay. So you've done this by personal experimentation. All right. No, that's fine.
Sure.
Yeah, we had a hypothesis and now a conclusion.
There we go. Very good.
But also, do not like sleeping with air cons. I'd rather sleep with a fan because at least the fan's going to push away the mosquitoes.
Yes.
And the air con's just going to clog up your nose and cause sinusitis.
Yeah, you wake up all dried out. I'm telling you, it's not good.
And that electricity bill for aircon is ridiculous.
Listen, in this country at the moment, the electricity bills, I mean, I don't know if you saw that ridiculous and hilarious tweet yesterday, but apparently Justin Bieber's coming to South Africa again. And so someone tweeted, bring your own generator. You don't need it, right? Yeah.
That's awesome. Justin Bieber.
Have you got any plans in the offing for December, Flax? What are you doing?
Oh, I'm going to this place I've never been before. It's called Zinkwazi.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's like a northern...
And it's just left out of Belito, depending...
No, it's further.
I don't know what to expect. Depending on where you're facing.
If you're facing the sea, it would be up to your left. That's as much as I can help you with. It sounds pretty
beautiful.
Have
you been there before?
No. I'd love to go. There's so many parts of South Africa I'm embarrassed to say I haven't been to. What I want to do is at some point go and explore. So I've been pretty much the whole way down the coast from, let's say, probably Belito, maybe even a little bit further north, like Blythedale or something, and then all the way down with one or two gaps in the Transkei. I've seen a lot of the Eastern Cape. I've seen a lot of the Western Cape. But then there's this space between sort of George and Cape Town itself. You know, where you've got like Mossel Bay and Hermanus and places like that I've never been to. So that might be a part of the country worth exploring. And then up towards the north, the furthest I think I've been on the west coast of South Africa is probably like AZ-Fontein or something. But beyond that, I haven't gone much further. So there's lots that I still have to explore. So that's north of Cape Town. Along that west coast. Anyway,
there's like some weird places in this country, like hot as hell. Apparently that is a town or something.
It is. I mean, listen, the Karoo, you know how vast and huge the Karoo is? And I mean, most of us, the Kalahari, we haven't been into those parts of the country. Unless you're driving through between Cape Town and Johannesburg, there's no reason for you to go there unless you know people in that area or whatever. That Northern Cape is monstrous. It is huge. It's by far our biggest province, and it's got about 10 people in it. So you could drive.
Really?
Well, I mean, I exaggerate somewhat, but okay, it's got 10 sober people in it, and the rest of the population is completely drunk all the time. That's kind of
what is there to do in the Karoo? Isn't it just a desert?
Drink.
Kango Caves. Just go to the Kango Caves and drink it.
They drink. they get hopelessly drunk from Monday to Monday. That's the average day in the life of a person in the Northern Cape. I mean, it stretches everywhere from you've got that port right in the top, sort of on the Orange River, where I think they do alluvial diamond mining, and you've got places like Postmasburg and Kimberley, and I mean Kimberley's well known, but Postmasburg, do me a favor, and places like Aliwal North and just some incredibly remote, dreary, dull place. I mean, some of them are pretty, I'm sure, but really far away from everything. Upington. Have you ever been to Upington?
Yes.
No. Isn't that the name of a doll or something?
The name of a doll.
Upington.
No.
Like that bear.
No, it's not called
Paddington.
Paddington.
You're thinking about Paddington.
Uppington. No,
Paddington. Okay.
Uppington
Paddington
Bear. Mistake. Uppington Bear is
one of the most famous.
Yeah, Uppington Bear is well known for wearing shaggy clothes and trying to avoid the sun and drinking too much Branavain and Coke. What's Uppington like, Bulelo? Tell us. I mean, this is going to be fascinating.
Mursavaram. So the two times I've been there, when we were young, we went to go play there some cricket, and the game actually got called off. Because it was so hot. And obviously the yuppies from Bryanston that we got there little, I don't know, what were we, 10 or 11?
Yeah.
Was the one time. And then I've been in Uppington for like a couple of running events. And then I've done the Karoo. But it's the heat's different there. Like, it's really the desert.
Let me ask you something. What did you not have, were the other schools in Johannesburg just against you guys that you had to go and find a school in Uppington to play cricket against?
you know, we were doing like we'd play people from Pretoria and the Eastern Cape as well. You know, as the Bryanston sort of everyone's looking up to us, you sort of want to give back to the people in the streets. Yeah, so you'd go to Pretoria, places like you live in Centurion. Yeah, so we'd give back. Busrand, Uppington.
You'd visit schools less privileged than you and teach them how to be civilized.
Well, here's what it looks like. Yeah, here's what it looks like if you do it properly. But
here's how you wear clothes when you play cricket.
And then in my later life, obviously I work quite a bit in the running space, and I've done a few events in the Karoo itself, and then so Kango Caves, and we've done a lot of that. We've done a lot of those mountains. I've run, obviously, if you in the Northern Cape, Namibia is obviously there. I've run a couple of races there, and then I've also I ran with a team with six of us from Johannesburg or from Pretoria or Tswane to Cape Town, and actually we had that whole touchline in the Karoo and kind of slept there. And midday in the Karoo, boy. Yeah, wow. Yeah, and most people are drunk. Most people are drunk. Yeah, 40 degrees minimum. That's just, that's bulb temperature, and then you on the ground at least 50. Murder.
Do you know what's like really cool, and just to stay for like a night or two, is Kimberley. You go stay by the mine and the big hole, and you do the little tour and the little town they have there and the bars. It's a vibe. It really is a vibe. I don't think we give Kimberley enough credit.
You're welcome to it. I've never been to Kimberley. I feel like I should go, really. I mean, we've got a lot of history in this country, and that's a place where a lot of it is kind of kept and and many museums and things around the gold rush and, you know, what happened in mining in South Africa. It's all based around Kimberley. But you'd have to give me a little more than that. That doesn't sound so exciting.
No, it's not like overly exciting. That's why one night or one could probably take in Kimberley.
Right. No. So look at this. Nico lives in Canada. He says today his high is -20. Oh, my God.
Jeez.
I bet you.
I love where he lives.
I bet you'd rather be in Upington right now than at minus 20. Jesus, Nico, that's hard. Hectic.
That's a mild day, eh? That's no. like listen, that's mild. The higher you go, minus 20 is like, and then you get wind chill.
Oh, sorry, it's not.
It's minus 40, minus 50.
It's not Nico, it's someone else who lives in Canada and was born in South Africa, but they were replying to Nico. Then Tracy says, skip the South Coast. Sorry, South Coast. Is head straight to the Karoo. Prince Albert and the surrounds. It's beautiful and so rich in history. I've heard that.
Why is it called Prince Albert?
Because they put a ring through the head of his cock.
Cock, yeah, that's what.
I do use this as a valuable source of information.
Okay, let's not
imagine I relay that.
Right. Okay, yeah. So let's not lie, because if Flax starts telling people, yeah, there's this place in the Karoo that's named after someone with a piercing in their cock, that is true, but that's not why it is named after him. So. Queen Victoria's husband was called Prince Albert, and people say that he was the first man, although there's no proof of this whatsoever, he was the first man to get what is called a Prince Albert, which is where they put a ring through the head of your dick so that it hangs out underneath and goes through the hole where you piss. It's beautiful. I mean, it must be sore as hell. And I don't know how those guys who have those pee, because it must go everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not, it's, no. So what you, so you pee probably what, 3 or 4 times a day, or maybe twice a day if you've got a urinary problem, or maybe 5 or 6 times a day if you also have a urinary problem of the other kind, but you're peeing a lot more than you're having sex. So you have this ring, you have this ring put in for pleasure or whatever it's for. Maybe it's just kinky and people just like the idea of it. And then you have to spend 4 or 5 occasions in that day with your pee going everywhere. That's just not on the numbers alone. That's a very bad deal. Anyway, the place is named after the queen, the queen's husband at the time, Queen Victoria. But people who want to be funny about it, they say it's named after a cock ring.
And Queen Victoria, South African?
No. Definitely not, Flex. She was the queen of England. She was the queen of Britain. She was the queen of...
So why are we naming places after them?
Because we used to...
colonization. You're going to have to look it up.
We used to belong to them. This country used to... this country belonged to Britain. We were a colony for a long time. Then we belonged to... Then we made ourselves a republic in, I think it was 1967. No, hang on. First, there was the Union of South Africa. It was around the turn of the century. Then there was the Republic of South Africa, and then somewhere in that time, between the Union and the Republic, then the National Party came in, and under D.F. Malan and Hendrik Verwoerd and J.G. Strydom, they turned us into the apartheid state of South Africa, where they said black people, white people need to live separately. And that only ended in 1994. That's a brief history of South Africa. Oh, by the way, speaking of brief histories, today we have Blind History returning to our lineup. And Blind History will start this morning at just after 7:30 with a brand new episode and a brand new season. I think we launch with Peter the Great, the first proper czar of the Russian Empire. And what an incredible guy. Be plenty of really fun episodes in this season. I think you're going to enjoy it. We've had people waiting on tenterhooks telling me, hurry up, where's the next season? So Anthony Meader and I got together and we've recorded you a couple more episodes. They're on their
way. Speaking of which.
Yes.
I had the guys from Taylor Blinds, at my house yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Incredible service. Oh, did they? You know how I'm always on about service, huh?
Yes. They came in to install some blinds and things for you.
Well, just do the measurements. I mean, we got to get there. Well, what am I doing touching my curtains in the 21st century?
Yeah, what do you like know?
If I'm going to be this modern day man moving and grooving, I'm not opening my curtains with my hands. Well, what am I, a dickhead? So had the Taylor Blinds guys yesterday. But Andre, the service, just world class. He's there 15 minutes early. Boom, boom, boom. Awesome. What do you need? He's got the laser measurer. He's not, it was awesome. Taylor Blinds, I must tell
you.
And not just because they're our clients. You know, I would complain if
what are you getting? Like, those electronic ones that you press a button, or you're getting? I have the ones that
are. No, I don't touch my curtains. What am I? 1812.
Wait, explain how this works. I want to automate my room, and I've just got the light bulbs linked to my Google Home.
Oh, nice.
So I don't touch light switches now. There's no need to.
Nice.
Sophisticated.
Now I don't want to touch my curtains either. What are you doing?
Head over to Teller Blinds. What you need is you've got to get the motion ones. You get Andre at your house. He'll measure it out. And essentially, it's just you've got a remote to open your curtains. So in my bedroom, I'm getting like we've got at work, Gareth. I guess most people don't know this. It's the like the dark, the shutout ones.
The blackout blinds. Yeah.
I like blackouts.
Blackout. Excuse me. So I'll be sleeping in the dark, and then which is what I like. I like to sleep in the pits of hell. Shut everything off. I like it to be pitch dark. And then in my lounge, for now, I'll get the. It's about 90% light shutout.
Right.
But it's kind of like meshy. Yeah. So that's a pretty cool one.
I love this. You know, this is what's cool about all the clients that we do have is that we actually use their products. Bolelo's not just talking about this. Yeah, it's great to see that he's actually using it. So apparently,
I get to try it at
how
work.
Much does something like this cost?
Sorry?
How much does it cost?
How much does it cost?
Well, I'm not at liberty to disclose that. I mean, it's gonna be beans and toast for a while, but you get what you pay for. And listen. What's nice about Taylor Blinds is we've got them at work. So it's not like I'm using something I haven't tried before. I've seen the benefits. So I've really tried it out. It's in every part of our office and it's world class.
Well, look at this. The way to look. Here's an endorsement from our own Bolelo. Okay, I like that. I just want to go back to traveling South Africa for a second because that might be a better, cheaper option for many of us over the December break. So Dude69 says, there's apparently a place called Leispoesdrift. My drunkle used to tell his wife that he was there if she asked where he was the night before. Leispoesdrift. Jesus, I hope that's not real. Seamus says you got to go to Orania.
No, I can picture some...
Just pop in there. I got to do my financial exchange though. Where do I get the money?
Yeah, exactly.
They've got their own vibe going.
They got their own currency.
Do they have like banks there and stuff?
Yeah.
Don't I?
I'm sure they do.
Like there'll be like a standard bank in there or something?
Probably. They've probably got at least one branch of each one. I mean, it's not that small. And if they don't have a branch of each, they definitely have Absa, because that would have been the old bank that they would have liked, right? Port Nolloth. Port Nolloth is that town on the Orange River in the far northwest of the country. Sorry, Flax, you were saying?
I've always pictured Orania to be like a town of like 50 people that are like just set in their own ways.
Not far off. It's not far off. Zach says, any place that is dry and lacking trees like Kimberley depresses the hell out of me. I did a tour just for the sake of my kids' historical vocab, and I couldn't wait to get out. Yeah, you see... I mean, I don't like places without trees either. That's probably why I don't like those desert towns and places that are extremely hot and dry. Derek says, I grew up in Postmasburg, best years of my life. Okay. Hey,
Where's that?
That's also in the Northern Cape. Derek, I grew up in
Khartoum. We never hear about it.
Listen to this. This guy who's living in Canada, or this, I think it's a guy who's living in Canada now at minus 20. He grew up in Khartoum. We played rugby against Pussies, that's what they call Postmasburg. I mean, to go from plus 40 degrees to minus 20, yes, you're really testing your abilities.
Where's Khartoum?
That's also in the Northern Cape. That place is huge, Flax. You'll never run out of space. Anyway,
so like, is it worth going to these little towns?
Yeah.
Markle, I got you. Kanga Caves, you ease your way in. You know, you don't start at the PhD level. Start Kanga Caves, then it's nice. They'll look after you. It's an awesome thing. It's actually a really cool experience going in there. And then you ease into the rest of it. And then you start camping. And then you have to start wearing arm sleeves when you're out, because from around midday,
you 30, burn.
38 degrees up.
Well, how far is the drive if I leave from Joburg?
But Marco, what am I, your travel agent?
Here? Yeah.
Get on Google.
Yeah, go and check.
What's going on here?
God's sake.
You're my blind expert and my travel agent.
Exactly. We're all just answering your, can I show you can I show you my Buritan that I got while I was away last weekend? Check here.
Where were you last weekend?
I was in, I went to a game farm. I got hang on, it's now frozen. This is irritating. Hang on a second.
Well, we can,
Is that frozen in like...
Yeah. That's frozen while I'm lifting the... Just hold on.
Does it? He just looks like a gym opener.
Yeah.
Like, yo, bro, check out my traps.
Hang on.
That Virgin's really giving you.
Let me just figure out this camera of mine. This is so annoying. I'm going to switch this one on. There we go. That's not ideal, but it's better.
You have two cameras.
Yeah, I got the one on the laptop, and then I've got this other one that we're meant to use. Anyway, it's now trying to do a software update, stupid thing. But I got a proper T-shirt tan while I was on the game vehicle when we were driving through the place, and they didn't have a roof on, and I hadn't put any sunblock on, so I looked like a proper like farmer with my tan at the moment. It's terrible.
Was it one of those like 5-star game reserves where you don't like even make your bed, they make your food, your private game drive vehicle?
There were people that helped clean up the place, but we did our own food, and there was a ranger who was driving us around in the game vehicle, because you can't just drive around on your own, you know, if you're in a game reserve. I mean, you have to have someone who knows what they're doing. Especially when you've got a bunch of people who are drinking on the back of the vehicle. That's not such a good idea if you're in the wild. So Robin says, Mbulelo, my blinds cost 1,200 Rand because we brought them down from 1,800 Rand. So that sounds good for
But
Robin.
Were they automated?
Yeah,
that's
probably.
The big question.
Probably.
That's not a bad price.
Listen, these guys, I can vouch for them. I've done tailor blinds in my house. We've got them at the office. Now Mbulelo's on board as well. Carla says, I had shutters.
Are there any promo codes going?
Listen to this. I had shutters put in through Taylor, better price than any of the other quotes, and amazing service. The final product looked so good we had to paint and do other improvements to not be left behind. So in other words, their blinds looked so good they had to fix the rest of the house up. That's
yeah, upgrade
nice.
The house.
Yeah.
That's
excellent. So yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure that the team at Taylor will be thrilled to hear all of this feedback. But you know, what we love about our clients is we believe in their products too. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to talk about them with any kind of, you know, any love, any real meaning and substance. And the same goes for everybody. I mean, every time we talk to anyone on the show, you were going to say,
Joe, for me. No, I don't believe in, I just want to say, it's not even a matter of me believing in it. It's quality speaks for itself. Mm. Like every day I get to work, it just works, man. It just, like, I don't want to think about these things, and it's quality speaks for itself. And sure. I made a call about a month ago, actually, to start budgeting for it. And now we move forward. I have to live my life with quality. Yes, I'm in a DAR suit, Mark. I'm in a DAR. I'm 35.
No, you got a couple of years left.
Oh, wow. All right. Very
incredible.
Good.
Do you know, of your clients who I really dig was that guy last week, Yaku. That guy
awesome.
Was such a cool oak.
Yeah, so Yaku was on. I heard that show. I actually listened to it on Monday evening where you were all talking about music and none of you knew any of his music that he grew up with.
Yeah, and he's got mad banter. I dig him.
No, he's awesome. So Chilako says, Some people need to get out of their towns more. I remember when I was younger and in Cape Town, I had a chat with one of the boys. I told him I'm from Welkom, and he said, "Where in Cape Town is that?"
Yeah, Cape Townians are bad. They do not leave.
They don't, eh?
You know, like, yeah, they'll go to Bishop's, Rondebosch, Herschel, go to Stelly's, go to UCT, and their world just ends at, like, Durbanville. So it's unbelievable how... It's more, but because if you think of Johannesburg, naturally the adventurous people come here, right? Because most people come here for their career, and they are sort of migrants from where the Cape Town, Durban. Right. So they're those types of people who would be, you know, chasing, hunting opportunities. Cape Townians that stay there, they do not move, and they know nothing. Sweet F-all.
Well,
sure. You just pissed off the whole of Cape Town.
Please,
that's okay. They'll never come here. They'll never come here to do anything.
Doesn't make a difference. And when he goes down,
love Cape Town.
When he goes down there, they'll ignore him just like they do when, you know, before they knew he didn't like them. Makes no difference. I mean, here's Snai is saying the same thing. Cape Townians don't travel. Many of them have never left the Western Cape. That is true for most Cape Townians. It's obviously
why is that a thing?
It's not true for all of them, but it is true for most of them because they think they've already discovered heaven and they think that the Western Cape and Cape Town in particular is all you need. And therefore, they never really think about going anywhere else in South Africa. They may travel overseas, but they don't believe in the rest of South Africa being interesting. In fact, if you ask a Cape Townian who's never left Cape Town about Joburg, they get this like frightened look on their faces. They're like, oh, my God. You've been to Joburg. I've only heard of. So it's like you've talked to someone in Middle Earth about Mordor. You know, you're like, have you heard, Precious, of Mordor, Precious? And they go, we don't likes it. We don't likes it. That's how Cape Townians respond if they've never been to Joburg before.
Maybe it's just like really expensive to live in Cape Town and they can't afford to get out.
Yeah, that's maybe part of it. That might be it. Anyway. Well, I mean, Mbulelo, as someone points out here, Cunning Stunt says that's exactly what you're like about the rest of Joburg. You only stay in Sandton. You don't go to the west, the east, or the south.
Morningside, yeah. Sandton's a little big as well. That's starting to get a little rough, yeah. I stay in Morningside. So let's bring that right in. Yeah.
Also, there is this movement where people are going to live in further places away from the big cities, even here in South Africa. Yeah. You know, there are a lot of people who live, talking about the Karoo, in those little Karoo towns, and they have very happy lives there. I mean, for a while, Leanne Moll lived in a place called Greyton, and she loved
McGregor there. As well.
McGregor, yeah. So there is this move. I mean, I think Ben's parents live in a funny little Western Cape town with like 10 people in it. So there is something to be said for it. And maybe those places are better to live in. I mean, you don't have all the stresses of town and cities and city living. And these days, you can work from pretty much anywhere if you've got good internet.
Where's like one place you would live if it wasn't Johannesburg? Has to be in South Africa. Has to be a small town. Can't just be like Cape Town.
Jeez, that's a tough question. I mean, there's certainly
I've
little.
I've got my answer.
You got your answer. Go.
Yeah, same. Set.
100%.
Go.
Champagne Valley, Drakensberg.
Really?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Like, have you been to, like, Champagne
yes,
Castle?
Yes. Oh. It's beautiful. We went.
Take me there immediately.
When we were at primary school, we did a tour in there because I went to primary school in KZN, and they took us on a tour of Champagne Castle and Cathedral Peak and all of those beautiful parts of the sort of middle, the central Drakensberg. It really is pretty, but my God, in winter, it's awful. It's freezing cold. And, there's not as much snow as you get anywhere else, so it's not like you can use the snow. I don't know why you're
yeah.
like that. Very odd.
No, the quality of life there is just, for me, I'm all about the quality right. of life. Like, yeah,
so
if I could live anywhere.
So space, good views, lots of vertical.
Plus lifestyle.
Yeah, okay, lifestyle. What about you? Flax, where would you go?
Mine's definitely between. Oh, I could settle down on a farm with like 40 dogs in the Midlands.
Oh, that's.
Or yeah. I could become a surfer in Jeffreys Bay.
Well,
in the Midlands. Midlands gets hot, Michael.
I know. It's like but a it's bottom beautiful.
You like it, huh?
I found it's out why winter. They call it gets Midlands gone. Meander.
Why?
Because the roads just go windy and you just meander through.
Have you just?
I hope that's right.
Have you just recently gone there for the first time? Because it is lovely. I mean, I won't.
No, I was there. So I was in Magaliesburg this weekend, and then I said Magalies Meander.
Oh, yeah.
And then I asked a friend, and they were like, that's why they call it Midlands Meander, because the roads are just windy and you just meander through. I thought that was cool. I hope that's accurate, though.
Watch out for the cults. They're a growing thing, though.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, as beautiful as the Midlands are, and that probably is a place that I'd like to build sort of a dream house one day, just because it's so beautiful there and quiet and peaceful and lovely and all that stuff. I do think you have to be old, because if you're under the age of, say, 55, it's far from everything. It's far from your friends, it's far from family, it's far from all those kinds of things. And I think you'd get quite bored. That's my only concern about that part of the world. But that's probably a good place to settle down one day when you're, like, retired. That would be nice.
It's not that far from Joburg. I think you're looking at, like, a 3.5-4-hour drive max.
I also like the sea. I mean, I could live at the coast one day. That would be fun. There's a huge...
Midlands is close to Durban.
There's a huge semigration of people to KZN. That's why places like Veleto are developing so fast, because everybody's going there to live. And, you know, these huge developments inside of estates and things where you could buy like a nice property with a view of the sea. And for many people, that's extremely like calming, and they just love the quality of life that Bolelo's talking about. Anyway,
As you get older, you got to be in that tropical vibe, right? Is the bones do not like cold. The older you get, I've spoken to a lot of people as they go into their 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Why are you going there?
So nobody immediately said Bloemfontein or Imalahleni. I wonder why no one's choosing to go to Welkom or Middelburg. I mean, I wonder why those places are so
lovely. I was born in Emalahleni.
Were you?
So, no thanks.
Yes, that is a cuck place. My God.
Yeah,
the worst place in South Africa we've discussed many times on the show is Secunda. That has got to be the most horrible place in South Africa.
I saw someone said Harry Smith, and I hate to break it to them, but Joburg people know Harry Smith as a petrol station.
Correct. That's exactly right. Dullstroom is also pretty, says Matt. Yeah, that's a good point. Not a bad idea.
Dullstroom.
Snai says, I could never live in Gauteng. I love living along the sea. Yeah, okay. I mean, different strokes. Bolelo likes the mountains. All right, enough of this geography lesson for this morning. We're already 6:30. Let's look at a couple of headlines and see what's going on in the world. Just to keep us up to date. By the way,
this is like my only fix of the news, eh?
I know.
This is like the only news I get in the day.
That's why I can't fuck it up. I've got to get this right for you, Flax. Otherwise, we're going to be in big trouble. So I've got some really interesting news for you in just a moment or two. A couple of stories that'll just bring you up to date. But first, we have a new podcast series launching today. I'm very excited about this. Imagine what life would be like without everyday tools like the telephone or the computer. Now, it's difficult to imagine how different your life would be, but almost unbelievably, things could have turned out that way, because at the dawn of so many of our cornerstone technologies, there were those people who saw what the future would be, and there were those people who didn't see the potential, and they were doomed to failure. I mean, every great invention is like on a knife edge, and it takes someone with extraordinary foresight and insight and balls to make it happen. Well, our series is called Opposed to Innovation, the stories of technologies that changed the world. And this is really, really interesting stuff. I'm going to be listening to every episode of this, and I would encourage you to take a listen too. It is hosted by Francisco Nwamba. It is brought to you by BMW, and it shares the tales of technologies that were shunned and ridiculed, but went on to revolutionize the world. Episode 1 looks at this thing here, the telephone, which you can find on cliffcentral.com, and it's on our Cliff Central app, on Apple or Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Go and check it out today. And it's a really, really cool and very interesting series. And if you want to know the full story of the telephone, which is absolutely fascinating, all the way from, Alexander Graham Bell? That's where it all started. There was I think the first thing that was ever recorded was him sending a voice recording to his friend along the telephone then, and it went,
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
That was the first ever recording, I think. Very, very fun.
Wasn't the first ever SMS Merry Christmas or something like that? The first ever SMS sent?
Yeah, it was a little bit after Alexander Graham Bell, though.
But it was definitely Merry Christmas.
I don't know. You may be teaching us things. There we go. All right. So some headlines. Let's look first at this. A divorce art auction. I know that sounds like a strange thing. A divorce art auction has raised $676 million in New York. Paintings and sculptures by famous artists, including Andy Warhol and Jackson Pollock, have been sold at an auction in New York. It raised more than $676 million. On Monday, the 35 pieces belong to the real estate mogul Harry Macklow and his former wife, Linda. The pair were told to sell the collection and split the proceeds during their 2018 divorce trial. A further 35 pieces of art are set to go up to auction next year. The items for sale included Number 7, which is a painting by Mark Rothko, which sold for $82.5 million, the second highest price for a piece by the artist.
Wow.
Not clear who the buyer is, but according to Reuters, there was a fierce bidding among people representing various Asian clients Jackson Pollock fetched $61.2 million. Let me tell you something. We all think, you know, we've got crypto and we've got gold and we've got like a little share portfolio, or maybe you've just got $100 in the bank in a unit trust. We are so not in the world of the super rich. These people, they'll buy a painting. I don't know. Could be anywhere from A4 size to the size of the biggest wall in your house. And that thing could buy 25 of all of your stuff put together without even using half its value up. That's where the real
money is. That's crazy. Yeah. Like, how do people have so much money to spend on like a piece of paper with some paint?
Don't know, dude, but they love it. I mean, yeah. The super rich.
I'll never understand rich people's stuff. Like buying like rich expensive glasses or champagne that's really expensive. You just want to drink it.
Mm-hmm. No, it's phenomenal.
Like, rather do something like Elon Musk's doing, where he's trying to solve issues in the world. Don't buy a painting for $82 million. Build a school or something.
Well, he's got a rocket.
Dude, I'm so with you.
He's got everything.
I love art, and I think that if you find a painting or a sculpture or something that you really like and you can afford it, you should always get it, because it's something that will make you smile. It'll make your life happier. Beautiful things do that. But could I ever – I mean, even if I had, you know, Elon Musk money, and he's worth, what, $300 billion or something now? Even then – I could never buy a Jackson Pollock. And by the way, Jackson Pollock, I mean, a lot of people say great artist. I don't know. It's in the eye of the beholder. But for $61 million, hell no.
That's ridiculous.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing about dudes. We all say this, but the thing about guys is, you know, once a zero is added to your check, you get a quarter of an inch on your penis. That's the problem with guys, is that we all think we won't. But with dudes, once now you're hanging out, imagine now you hang out with Musk and Bezos and they're talking about, yeah, dude, my second rocket sucks, bro. I got F3. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing with guys. I can't speak for ladies. I'm just saying, I've just seen it too much, and even with myself. So I'm making a little more. Then you start, has to get nicer, the girlfriend funny. Has to get prettier.
I think it's funny that this whole auction happened because this couple got divorced and they obviously have to split the estate. So someone said to them in the proceedings, like, listen, you've got to sell all this shit. And they've probably spent their lives collecting it, and they don't want to sell it, but now they have to because they have to split the proceeds. Anyway, over to Cape Town, because the city of Cape Town has announced, they thought it was just Joburg that was going to have water issues this week. But they just announced that they will be shutting down the Faro water treatment plant temporarily, and they've urged residents to reduce non-essential water consumption for the coming weekend. The Water and Sanitation Department said the plant will be shut from midnight on Friday until midnight on Monday to enable the insertion of a T-piece in its 2,400-millimeter diameter bulk water main. That's a lot of info that you might not have needed, but there we go. The city said arrangements have been made to step up production. It said because of this, residents should not experience any significant disruption in water supply, but just generally use less water. So there we go, Cape Town. And it's particularly for...
Okay, I was going to say, I'm in Cape Town this weekend.
Okay, so it's not for all the neighborhoods. So here it is, apparently... It's part of the city of Cape Town's 162 million rand Baden-Powell Drive bulk water pipeline project, which will strengthen supply to thousands of Khayelitsha residents. So that's where the water is hopefully going to go, and it's all part of them extending drinking water and fresh water to parts of the Cape where it's not going so well. So Eerste Rivier between Van Riebeek Strand and Faro Road, and areas of Deveyne London and surrounds next to Baden-Powell Drive. That's where you're going to have some trouble. So just be ready while they fix and ramp up your water supply there. That might be a bit of a problem for some people.
Do you remember when Cape Town had that mad water crisis and you'd get on like a plane from Joburg there, and the plane would give you water when you depart, or people would take their own like 6-5 liter waters down to Cape Town?
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
I was living in Cape Town during that crisis.
Really?
Mm. Yeah.
Was it like really bad, like where they cut off your water?
No, it was
really?
It was a crisis. It was. And, I mean, I was living in the burbs, so it was still a crisis. So it was bad. It was real.
I can't imagine living with no water. Like,
that's the worst.
Electricity I can do, but you want to drink, you want to go to your tap and have some water or have a shower or something.
Imagine not being able to turn on your taps and have them work for a whole week. I think people would go crazy. That's where they'd start shooting. Anyway, here's something interesting. Amabungane and Financial Mail could soon have access to former President Jacob Zuma's tax records. The High Court in Pretoria ruled in favor of the media houses on Tuesday. This follows SARS's refusal to disclose Zuma's tax records in the public interest. The tax man has to provide records to the media houses within the next 10 days unless an appeal is lodged. The High Court said it has endorsed the media houses' argument that the Tax Administration Act fails to strike the right constitutional balance between access to information and taxpayers' right to privacy. But I think this man was our president and he stole tons of money. I think we should see what's going on in his taxes, don't you?
Sounds fair.
And what does this do to, who was it? It was Praveen, eh? Oh, if you let anything slide.
Can you imagine?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Where is Jacob Zuma now? Is he in prison, at home, hospital?
He's supposed to still be in prison. But, you know, that some people have been telling me that he hasn't spent a single day in prison. That it's all just been a big ruse. Yeah. Some people are saying it's all just been a big show. He hasn't even been in prison. Who knows?
Is Oscar Pistorius still in prison?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He's still in prison, and I think he's been moved out of, like, Pretoria Central, though. He's in a different prison now.
And he's up for parole. Remember that. So that is unfolding as we speak.
Very good. Okay, you want to know some more, or is that enough for you for today? One more?
I could do one more.
Okay, so let's do... there are two stories around the recent elections. You tell me which one you're more interested in. The IEC is going to approach Parliament to discuss automated ballot capturing and counting, which may make our next election a whole lot easier. That could be interesting, but there's also this story about the Patriotic Alliance that says it's been promised positions by the ANC in Ekurhuleni and Joburg. So that's Gayton McKenzie's Patriotic Alliance. They've got into bed with the ANC. The EFF and the DA have refused to do any coalition work with the ANC. Which story are you more interested in?
I quite like the IEC automating the voting.
Okay, let's look at it. So
the other one had a lot of names. I don't know.
So the IEC has been criticized quite heavily over the running of the elections, and they've been told, listen, guys, there are easier ways to do this. You can automate some of this stuff. It makes some people nervous because they go, oh, but when there's automation, there's also room for corruption and for unfair and unfree elections to be run. But parliamentarians on Tuesday...
it's not working.
The system is down. Parliamentarians on Tuesday grilled the IEC about failures during the recent local government elections and why scores of voters were turned away, including Pumi Mashiko, who thought she was at the right voting station, only to find out that despite her voting there for the last, I don't know, five elections, she was at the wrong place. Briefing the Home Affairs Committee on their annual report, the IEC said it was working on improving things before the next elections. Well, you've got a long time, guys. Get your shit together. The IEC said they'd be approaching Parliament next year to discuss the issue of automated ballot capturing and counting. So it won't change the way we vote, but it will change the way that they count those votes.
You see, someone's going to get the tender for the security system that backs that online system. Mm-hmm. And that security system's going to be owned by the ANC or someone like that. And it will be corrupt from the very start.
Well, that's what a lot of people are saying. So we've got to watch this carefully. Anyway, that's all we've got time for now. I want to bring on, in a moment, Sean Sanders from Revix. We'll be talking to him about what's been going on in the world of cryptocurrency, and there's a lot happening at the moment. There have been some quite big ups and downs in the last 10 days, and we'll be talking to Sean about precisely what's going on there in a moment. So stick around. Don't forget Blind History, a brand new episode and a brand new season starting this morning. Excited about that too. So we'll get to all of that and more. Plus, Bulela wants to talk to us about a Russian weapons test, which went horribly wrong. And there could have been seven people dead because it went so wrong. Also, a certain very unpopular person in the world has just made himself a cool $375 million with one deal. We'll find out who that is in just a moment or two as well. So lots of good things happening all over the world that are, well, maybe not always good things, but things that we need to know about. Okay. By the way, the Bitcoin price is at $60,000 this morning, $60,626, and Ethereum trading at $4,272. Flax, you still got some crypto?
I know.
100%. I've actually got my diary out here now. Sean made me cash last week. You just listen to his advice, plug it in your phone, and there you make cash.
Huh.
Man's a moneymaker.
What did he tell you to buy?
I think we spoke about last week, Bitcoin, Ethereum. So I went and made some purchases. I'm already up.
Well done.
I also downloaded and using his portal, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. But it has things.
What do they call them nowadays?
Well, it's a platform, but you can buy various indices of the best cryptocurrencies with Revix. We'll get to that in a second, but he's going to, as someone explains here, first time in a while, Carlos says that Sean has to explain a downward graph. Really, the last couple of times you've had him on, it's all been up and up and up. But the last few days, it's actually dropped a little bit. So we'll find out about that. Snaye says, I watched the DA update on the coalition arrangements last night. John Steenhuisen says McKenzie, gets Gayton McKenzie, was only interested in jobs for his people, positions, and money. So the DA parted ways with the PA. Yeah. I don't know about this Gayton. Gayton McKenzie is a strange chap because I had him on my TV show, and he was actually really good. He was, he came out against corruption and he came out saying all the right things. But Gayton's background is that he was in jail. He's had a tough life. He's a tough guy. And the first thing he does after getting a couple of votes here and there, and mostly in very strange places in of all parts of South Africa, the Karoo, which we were just talking about, as soon as he sees a chance for his people to get some jobs in government, suddenly it's okay for him to be big mates with the ANC. So I think we must get him on the burning platform sometime and ask him about that, because
remember he was Kenny Kunene's mate who gave us a czar, for those of you that used to do your thing. So
correct, now, I remember that.
Interesting bloke.
They're close mates.
Yeah.
Whenever Kenny Kunene used to come into studio, Gayton was also there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two of them are big old bosom buddies, and they spent a lot of time with each other with those czar clubs. I remember those. I went to the one in Cape Town and the one in Joburg once or twice. They were the place for a while. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Do I remember? Boy, oh, boy.
They were
But I'll go.
They were also a Blesser and Blessie Central. Remember?
Absolutely. They then converted in the end, towards the end, when they were dwindling, to a church on the Sunday. I don't know if you ever know. You might have missed that.
I didn't know that.
Sundays, they used to go straight from thumping and girls shaking their glitter in guys' faces. Bless you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings the next morning. Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, if you can cleanse your sins after you've had full experience of your sins, that sounds like a good, without leaving the place that you were in, that sounds like a good deal to me.
Do you remember when Kenny Kunene was in the news for eating sushi of women at parties?
Yep.
No, he used to do it live on club night.
At Czar.
Really?
That was where he did
it. He would do it when we, when we were coming in to throw money we didn't have away at him and Gayton. He'd be eating sushi off a naked woman, yeah.
When he was in studio, when you interviewed him, Gareth, he invited me to his birthday party, and I put it in my phone. I messaged him about the details, which I was blue ticked.
Yeah.
But every year I get a reminder of his birthday now in my phone.
Oh, that's just great. Did you hear about what's happening in the south? There's an Ikosa mayor. We're in the south of Joburg? I'd like to know about that, Terence. Let us know, please.
What's Ikosa?
I don't know. I know nothing about that. It must be one of those very small parties. But, I mean, well done to them if they've actually managed to become, whoever they are, mayor with that little party. I keep seeing these ads to invest in Netflix. Any ideas? I think it's a solid. I don't know so much. I'm not an expert in U.S. stocks at all. But I've got a little bit of Amazon and some Google. I mean, I reckon, you know, rather own a piece of the enemy than let them remain your enemy without you benefiting from their ups and downs, and or mostly benefiting from their ups, I should hope. And It seems fairly, you know, I mean, any of those blue chip stocks in America, you're pretty much guaranteed over the long run to keep making money. But I don't take my word for it. Speak to an expert. I don't know.
I think now's a good time to buy Alibaba with Singles Day and like Black Friday coming up. Yeah. Surely those shares go up.
Yeah, if you're a trader, that's a good idea. But I mean, if you're someone who's looking for the long term, you might want to just check out the fundamentals. Again, Alibaba is a pretty solid company. So I don't go wrong. But this is all for people who have some cash lying around. And frankly, at this point, I've seen more coming out of cryptocurrencies for me than anything else. That's the most exciting place I've been invested. And I'm not talking about big money either.
I want to marry the lady who spent $80 million on that painting.
Exactly. That's not talk That's about an investment. That's who you want to know.
Because they got divorced. Yeah. Who was that lady? Mm. I want to marry her. That's who I need. I don't want to care about.
Yeah. Mm. Because she's getting the cash from that. She's not getting the painting. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So Rian says, what investment platform do you use for stock investments? What US ones? Probably eToro. For a while, I think they advertised with us. That's how I know about them.
I tried to make an investment the other day in Alibaba, but my bank wouldn't let me do it with some Swift code. It was giving me issues.
Yeah.
Is that on your side as well?
Well, whenever you do an international thing, you're going to need those Swift codes and things with your bank. Our banks are very, very carefully regulated. And they say that's one of the reasons that we were mostly protected from the 2008 crash. But it's also because our banks are pretty well administered and they're fairly forward focused in terms of their technology. And unfortunately, you can't get past the Reserve Bank and their rules, no matter how good your bank is at what they do. But it's something to think about. You can get exposure to these various things without having to jump through too many hoops. That's possible. Why do they charge?
Why do they charge such a high fee? There was like, I wanted to buy, let's say, 10 Rand, put 10 Rand in my account to buy shares. But then the bank wanted to charge me like 30 Rand just to do that.
I don't know. I had a meeting the other day with my banker, which is the first thing. I haven't done that in years because why? You know, everything's online these days. And I said to him, what is the service fee actually for? Because really, I manage all my own stuff on the internet. And he's like, yeah, it's changed so much that these days being someone's banker is like, it's not really a job. It's more like you're a financial advisor. And he helps people to maximize what they've got and find ways of, you know, being able to trade currencies and that kind of thing. That's sort of what he's involved in at the moment. And I think that a lot of the banks are probably laying off a few people. So there may be less jobs in the banks going forward than there ever have been. Anyway, so here's that story. Theron says, Canaland, I don't know where the hell that is, saw a convicted rapist as mayor and a convicted fraudster as deputy mayor with the support of the ANC. That's outrageous, really. Melanie's echoing that story. What's with the ex-convicted child rapist and fraudster in Canaland being given positions as mayor and deputy mayor? So is that from the party, this ICOSA party? ICOSA?
I don't know.
You see, I must be honest with you. I don't know what this is. And maybe we should bring it up on the Burning Platform tomorrow.
This Canaland, situated in the western part of the Little Karoo, and includes the towns of Ladysmith.
Oh, hang on.
Pretty cool.
I know who this is. This is Truman Prince. I remember the story about Truman Prince. He was expelled from the ANC back in 2006. And he's, there's not the most savory person in the world. And apparently the whole party was founded because of the Independent Civic Organization was founded by Truman Prince in the Karoo. He was reinstated as mayor in 2007 after a protracted legal battle. And he obviously is, he's not a good human being, this guy. He has a history of being expelled from various parties, being fired from his post in a provincial vote. And I remember Helen Ziller had quite a lot to say about him at the time, that he's a dodgy bastard. So there we go.
Jesus.
I don't know if that's him in the case of this Canaland mayor situation, but Truman Prince, not a good guy. Really. Bob says, Bob DiBacquane says, I had a chat with a banker. He said that they are now shifting towards being financial planners. Exactly. Yeah. And unless banks made crypto portfolios available, they'll continue to lose. There is no longer a benefit in keeping money in a bank other than using it as a funnel to move things around. Well, I don't
know about, that's so well said.
I don't know about you guys, but I use my credit card just as a payment facility. I don't borrow money on it. So I top it up with money when I need to use it. And then I use it just to pay for things. But now I've connected my phone up, so I'm using Apple Pay, which is really cool. I've used that a couple of times. Don't you think that's...
You can do that on your watch as well.
You can, yeah.
Don't you have an iWatch?
Yeah, Apple Watch. Yeah, I've got one of those. But
that's pretty cool.
I don't wear a watch all the time, so better to use my phone.
What?
I don't like to wear a watch. I mean, these days you've got the time right here. What do you need the watch for?
Yeah, but then you're taking your phone out of your pocket every time.
Well, it's probably out of my pocket anyway. We're on our phones all the time.
Is it that it's uncomfortable or... Is it something else?
No. I mean, I've got the watch. It's charging right now on my bedside table. I wore it yesterday, but I don't normally wear it. I'm not a big jewelry or watch-wearing kind of person. You know, you get those people who wear their wedding rings or they wear their watch the whole time. A lot of people like a watch because it's also a bit of a social status symbol. You get very expensive watches that people wear, although in South Africa, I think it's almost dangerous to wear them. Do you wear a watch all the time, Flex?
Yeah, I have a Huawei smartwatch. This thing literally tracks my mood during the day. It tells me when I'm stressed, tells me my oxygen saturation levels. These things are important as you go throughout the day. Make sure you're alive.
Oh, okay. here's a story about Truman Prince that Tracy reminded me of. He was the one who was mayor of Beaufort West. He frequented the transvestite prostitutes, and he didn't know they were prostitutes. I think it was him on Carte Blanche. I do remember something like that. Zach says, please bring Justice Malala on for the burning platform before he disappears again. Yes, good idea. We have been in discussions with the Justice to get him on. So don't worry, we're absolutely going to try and do that. Melanie says, lol, they're embarrassing us coloreds. Where is John Wick when you need him now? Yeah, that's right.
I was going to say, he's lucky he doesn't live Gore Mummy Lordy because John Wick is still taking care of people.
I believe so.
Really?
Yeah.
No. He's still
chasing
taking
him down.
Care of, who's it? The guys from Boko Haram. He's taking out the leaders from a gang that call themselves Boko Haram, and he's having none of it.
Is he just taking out bad people?
Yeah. Yeah,
well, I'd like to think, yeah. If you call yourself Boko Haram, I can't imagine you're handing out candy to children.
Bulelo, do you wear a watch?
No, I don't. I've got a watch that I wear if I'm trying to look grown up, but I don't actually. I realized I just had a suit tailored because a friend of mine said to me, he knows I'll pitch up like this, like in my activewear at his wedding because I'm that guy, and he micromanaged me, so I've just had my suit fitted, so I'm going to whip out my watch, and I'll wear it on the 17th of December. But otherwise, no, I'm not a watch guy, and also unless I train. So I've got like a garment, but other than that, no.
Okay.
I feel like watches are important.
I don't know, Flex. I mean, to me, it's really not a big thing. It's not an essential part of getting dressed. For some people, it really is. You know, for some people, it's like putting on underwear or shoes. You have to do it every day. But there are people like me who just don't think that a watch is essential wardrobe. I mean, I think Bolero's the same. We just sometimes you remember to put it on. And I don't have a watch collection. I've got like two watches. One of them is quite nice. It's a proper dress watch with a nice black leather strap, which if I did want to smarten up, I suppose I could do that. And the other one's the Apple Watch. Those are the only two watches I have. And the Apple Watch is more like, it's just a fun gimmicky thing. And, you know, get your messages on there rather than your phone. But it's not essential. Just quick questions.
Speaking of watches.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So when my dad was transitioning from his one company and moving to another, they gave him like a pretty high-end watch, a pretty famous watchmaker. And like, he's really not into stuff. He gave it to my grandmother, who I think has a grade one or a grade two education. And it was just, so she was walking around the villages of the Eastern Cape wearing, I don't know,
a very expensive watch,
like a quarter of a million rand watch.
Jesus,
yeah.
She has no idea. Jeez. That's phenomenal. Lungile says the same. No watch for me too. Time is everywhere. The car, the phone, the laptop. Yeah, it's. I don't think you need it anymore. Is your watch accurate? Says Cabello Flex.
Yeah, I mean, it says I've burnt 23 calories today. I've done 946 steps, and it's 18 degrees. What more do you need to know?
Mm-hmm.
It's also 6:59.
Carl says, Bulelo is such a superior human being that he can tell the time from the position of the sun. No need for a watch. Yeah, that's probably true.
Now, Carl, actually, I do capture one of my heroes, a guy called Eratosthenes. Is who you're thinking.
Oh, God,
here
we go.
It's very easy to confuse me.
Go on.
With Eratosthenes. So Eratosthenes, smart guy. So he measured the circumference of the globe by using a very famous experiment. He put a stick in the ground on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, so he's one of the early polymaths. Go and look him up, Eratosthenes. So if you're saying
Eratosthenes. He measured the shadow on the stick, and that's how he would calculate how big the Earth was.
Yeah. So, sorry, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well,
you can read Stephen Hawking's Universe if you want.
This and other fascinating stories. We will have to wait until after 7:04. We'll also be joined by Sean Sanders in a moment or two. All of that and more on the way. CliffCentral.com on a Wednesday morning. Don't forget, Blind History starts again today, which is extra exciting. And there's that brand new podcast series about innovation and the things that very nearly stopped innovation from happening. Today's episode, and it's available on our website, on Spotify, on Google, on Apple, all of the different podcast servers, and you want to go and check that out. Brand new episodes of both of those series today. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.